Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio.
I am Turok!
Hey everyone, it's me again. Just before we get started again this week, just a heads up, the thumb cramps you're about to hear, yeah, guess what, it's another rude one. We were joined by Alexi Toliopoulos, the rudest man in show business, and we couldn't get him to stop swearing. He wouldn't keep his goddamn mouth shut, no matter how hard we tried. So, if you're listening to this one, not expecting the usual Sans Pants language, guess what? You're gonna get it. Enjoy the episode. Also, I introduced this one, so this is probably gonna be jarring. I recorded this later and put it at the start. That's the magic of editing, baby. See you in the episode. Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Alexi Toliopoulos.
Oh my god, it's a guest, Joel Zammit, Alexi Toliopoulos.
Yes, we have almost the same genetic makeup, me and Joel, so it's going to be a very smooth fit.
Yeah, we've previously had Levin's jarring fit, people noticed. This time, I reckon you'll fly under the radar, Alexi.
Let's hope.
Or should I say, Joel Zammit.
Okay,
Joel
Zammit's in the house. Okay, Zammalexos.
And today we're going to be looking at being impotent at Doom Eternal and other games.
Nothing so, cooler than impotency, dude.
Yeah, I figured it was time for me to be honest with our Thumb Cramps audience. Mm-hmm. And that's what today is. Today is a confession. Today is an admittance.
That's intense.
Today is a monumentous occasion where I have to admit that I think a video game has bested me. For the maybe the first time ever in human history.
That's crazy.
So, do you know when you're playing a video game and a lot of the time a puzzle or something like that, you can't quite figure it out. And it's never really the challenge of it. It's just like, I can't figure out
like
what
this puzzle is. Like, I'm not clever enough for this puzzle.
Yeah. Or like games like Fez that get so much up their own ass that like there's no way you were going to figure out that puzzle. It's just that the creator's like, ooh, I'm so clever because I've made up a new language that means that this puzzle's unsolvable.
When a creator becomes a cheeky imp, Tried to play my game now, mortals. Yeah, I know, I'm there.
You know, like when game creators turn into Rumpelstiltskin and demand your firstborn unless you can solve this unsolvable puzzle.
Name? And they're like, how am I going to know this little guy's name? Okay, do I have to go out in the fucking woods in the middle of the night and find this cunt's name out just by chance and he goes and screams it out? No. There's no clues to allow that to happen.
It's not happening.
Also, I'm just going to take this note just so I don't have to record an intro later on. Look, it's another filthy episode of Thumb Cramps. We're saying fucks and cunts again. It's saucy. It's Thumb Cramps up late. I'm talking about impotence. I can't come and Doom Eternal.
It's in the title. We're talking about our shortcomings, okay?
Yes. And we can't fucking stop swearing.
Cum cramps. Right. Welcome back.
Guys.
Thumb cunts.
Yeah,
oh, I like this now. I can't believe I'm the one that's made this podcast dirty. Of the three of us, I'm the one that's come in and made it bad.
Andrew Levins walked so Alexi could run. So, Doom Eternal, I'm up to chapter 9 of 13.
Yeah.
And I'll track my journey to get to this point in a second, because that's also important.
I'm at a bit, no
puzzles. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm meant to do. But I can't fucking do it. I'm just not good enough.
What's the bit? Walk me through it.
Okay, so basically, Doom hits a point. Actually, this is probably a good way to explain my journey.
Sure.
So around mission 6, I had unlocked all the weapons except one, and I knew that Doom, famously as a franchise, has the BFG, which stands for Big Fucking Gun, which is good. That's good.
It's one of the greatest jokes that's ever been in a video game.
Absolutely.
You're just like, wow, I feel awesome to say this, and I'm freaking laughing as well because the cheek behind it all.
Yeah, I'm killing demons, I'm sending them back to hell, and I feel good about it because I can't stop laughing at Big Fucking Gun.
You get the joke, you're sitting illuminated by the light of your TV and you're like, I gotta tell someone. You've got your partner in the other room. Hey, check out the name of this gun.
Check this out, dude. You're not going to believe if this is a video game where they actually freaking swear. You're going to go crazy. Yeah.
What do you think the F stands for? You're not going to guess it.
Frick incorrect.
Yeah, not frick, dude.
Oh, no.
Yeah, maybe in some little piddly Mario game it would say frick. But here, this is a badass game where you're a big fella with a big fucking gun.
Yeah. No, forget those fairy tales where BFG stands for Big Friendly Giant. Not in this world. It stands for Big Fucking Gun.
Oh, yeah.
So, basically, I was at, like, mission 6 or 7, and the missions are really long in Doom Eternal. So, first-person shooters are usually relatively short, especially in the world of, like, Call of Duty and stuff like that, where you can probably knock out the campaign in, like, 5 or 6 hours. So, I was getting to this, like mission 6, I was getting to, like, some really tough boss fights that were killing me, like, 10 or 20 times before I could figure out what to do or how to do it. And I knew I was only missing the BFG, so I was like, I reckon I'm getting pretty close to the end of the game. So I just went online, I was at, the end of mission 6, looked up a walkthrough, not to figure out how to do it, but just to see chapters.
Yeah.
Turns out that there was 13 chapters in the game, and I instantly was like, oh, fuck, I'm not even halfway through.
Oh, that's good.
So that was a real kick in the teeth and the dick bag.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, no.
But then,
not your precious dick bag.
I know.
Which, like, coincidentally is full of teeth. We haven't revealed that before. It's the same area.
It's the same bag. It's the same bag.
It's all the same bag. I use one bag multiple uses.
It was an unformed twin. Okay, I'll be honest. It was an unformed twin.
And Doom Eternal just kicked me right in my unformed twin.
And my unformed twin made of teeth and dicks. Oh, man.
And he hated it. Yes, he could communicate with me. He feels.
We have a telepathic link. I'll be honest with you. We have a telepathic link. He whispers to me at night. He told me how much he fucking hates it. He said, please, Joel,
stop playing Doom Eternal. I'm made of dicks and teeth. Both those things are really sensitive.
The big fucking gun is rude as well, okay? Don't laugh at it. It's rude.
I hate
it's
swearing.
It's a rude joke.
Yeah. Why have you stopped?
The twin started talking to him and he
had to stop
listening to us.
What's that? Yeah, we're talking about you.
Sorry, disappeared.
You made a dicks and teeth. People want to hear that. I don't know.
Yeah. You know you're a fucking science marvel, right? I just want to double check that with you. You're like, no, you know that, right?
Neither dicks nor teeth are brains. So the fact that you can communicate.
And we have a telepathic link. That's fucked up. Science wants to know about that.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm. So I was like, shit, I'm in trouble here if I'm struggling this much. But then, after I beat that boss, chapters 7 and 8, kind of like a walk in the park, basically. Yeah. I was like, all right. But then I hit a part of the game.
Which is one of the activities you're allowed to do, so,
that's true.
You have experience doing it.
If you're listening to this podcast and you're sitting in your house and you're like, fuck, I'm so sick of sitting in my house. You know what? Take your headphones. You can go for a walk. Just don't touch anyone or anything.
Don't sit down. You got to keep moving
down.
Shark. That's the rule.
Yeah. It's shark laws now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where it's shark stage of lockdown. Everyone has to act like a shark.
Eat chum. Don't stop moving.
Yeah. Sniff out blood. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's allowed. We allow it.
Yeah, that's okay.
We've reopened beaches for that exact reason. Jump in.
That's not playing by the sharks, clearly.
Our government of sharks. They're trying to get us to get fucking air.
They've gained power during this. The sharks are the only ones allowed out for a while. They took everything over.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. We used to be, like dolphins used to be smarter than us. Now it's dolphins and sharks.
The dolphins are getting dumber as the sharks get smarter.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. We're in trouble. We're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I would say don't fucking panic, but you know what? If you're going to panic, I can't stop
you. This is the perfect
time.
Yeah,
you're allowed to.
So, chapter 9 of Doom Eternal, that's when they start just throwing bosses at you like they're regular enemies, but they're not
classic
toned down. They're just... Yeah, and I forgot this. Like, there's just moments in the first Doom games as well where they just put you in rooms and there's just like... more fucking guys than you could ever imagine. However many guys you're imagining.
Serious Sam style. Hell yeah.
There's just like so many guys. But now there's so many guys, and some of them are like bosses from early on in the game that killed me 30 times and I was just playing, like trying to kill that one guy.
Is it one of those games though where the idea is that like by this point the game's like, well, you can deal, you know, video games do that. They're like, oh, this enemy was so hard early on, but you're so skilled because you've played the game so long that now you can just defeat them like it's no big deal. Did you not develop the skill, I guess, is my question.
It's not the skills, it's the weapons that you get as you go further, mm-hmm. do more damage. So, like, one of the first bosses you fight, the plasma rifle is, like, strong against it. But then, by the time that it starts appearing as a regular enemy, you've got, like, a rocket launcher version of the plasma rifle, so you can take those out pretty quickly. It eats through your ammo, but it's not much of a hassle. But the last boss you face before all of this kicks off, and it all kicking off like this, where that enemy just boss just appears as a regular enemy, your guns haven't changed.
Man.
The only thing that you've got between now and then is a Thumbcram's favorite, the big fucking gun, or BFG.
But
you get two bullets of that, and that's it, and they don't affect this fella, because he's got a shield or some shit. So basically, the level part I'm in is... I've pulled a sword out of a guy that apparently I've killed in the past. Don't know. Doom Eternal takes place after the events of Doom 2016, but, like, also events happen in between the games. It's very... it's just like...
Godfather Part 2 style?
Yeah, Godfather Part 2 style. Or, like, in a fantasy book when you just, like, pick it up. Like, in Lord of the Rings or whatever, you pick it up and fucking it's 11-11 birthday or whatever's going on. You're like, what? These are all new words. I don't understand.
Man, the idea of you reading Lord of the Rings and getting really frustrated is so funny.
At the first chapter where there's 111 is put in.
That's not
11-11. That's not a number. Like flipping the book over to look at the blurb. What?
I've read The Hobbit. They did not explain this number.
Going on to Google. What is happening in Lord of the Rings?
I've read The Hobbit. Events have taken place in between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. I'm instantly confused.
So confused right now. Throw it out.
So the room I'm in, there's the thing I've taken the sword out of. So there's like two levels. The top level is where presumably the fight's meant to take place, but it's quite small. And then if you kind of fall off the ledge, that's fine. Nothing changes. It's just a much open area. But this place is where you can kind of get cornered real easily. And they throw, like, some of the, like, regular but hard enemies at you. Ones that you kind of need to use things like rocket launchers. Like, eat through your ammo to take out. Mm. And then all of a sudden, they throw... I think its name is the Marauder. Anyway, it's a fucking guy. He's got an axe, a shotgun, and a tiger. And you gotta... you gotta kill
That's
him
good.
As well. It's just...
Oh, no.
It's just
Why is
way
a tiger
too much
in
going
hell?
On.
What did it do?
I don't know. Well, it's like the tiger is summoned by this fella, so like it's
from
like a gold. Well, it's like a golden tiger. It's like an illusion.
Oh, okay,
but maybe it's based on the first tiger
that's
that
awesome.
Sinned. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of a demon who's like, I'm a demon. Like, I'm from hell. What's the scariest thing I can imagine? A tiger. That's great. What's the most frightening animal? It's not me. It's just a regular predator.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So are you giving up? Are you throwing in the towel on Doom Eternal?
This is
that's
the
awesome.
First time that I have ever, like... You know how, like, look, I've rage quit before, I guess, but never, like, huge tantrums. But I've never then picked up the controller again and not been able to progress any further after, like, another hour. It's just... I don't think I'm giving up. I'm just fucking baffled. This never happened to me before.
Are you?
Which is where the impotence comes in. And now I can finally relate to incels.
Yeah, finally.
Finally!
Me, as a Chad that never stops fucking, can finally look down on incels and be like, I see you.
I get it.
I see you. I get it. Me and you, we're the same now. I come, Watts, and you don't, but in Doom Eternal, we're the same.
Are it's you getting that, tears yeah. in your eyes in this experience? Because I remember, like, you know, when I was, like, a teen or whatever, when I was getting really frustrated in games, there would be times where I would just, like, start weeping. Like, not, like, I wouldn't cry, but there would be liquid escaping my eyes in a manner that expresses my deeper feelings on the inside of my being. And getting that frustration, almost throwing the controls around and stuff.
When I get angry in video games, I don't get the compulsion that some people have to, like, throw the controller or something. But I get sweaty hands, but I got so sweaty hands to the point where my forehead was starting to get a bit sweaty.
Oh, and, that's so good.
I make the situation way worse for myself because I put down the controller. I'm like, all right, try this again. I'm just going to make myself a coffee. We'll come back to it. And then I drink fucking 8 coffees or whatever, and I'm seeing through time.
You eat it.
Coffee sweats. It's all happening.
This is gonna sound like a fake story, but it is true. I once got so frustrated with Wario Land 3 for the Game Boy Advance that it genuinely became sexual. This sounds absolutely like a lie.
No, I'll tell you, if it was any other person that I knew telling you, I'm like, oh, that's a lie. I'm like, no, I believe this wholeheartedly coming
it
from
just,
you.
I was so frustrated. It was just like the you know that thing where they're like sensation or experience gets channeled somewhere else, like redistribution of pain or whatever.
Yeah.
It was that. The frustration was like, we got nowhere else to go. We're going right into his dick. And it became every time it was a level where Wario had to jump up these clouds and the clouds disappeared. And there was no checkpoints, so like you could get like 3/4 of the way to the top of the level, and then you just fall. And Wario, he controls like a fucking bus, so it was hell.
Yeah.
And every time I would fall,
he's a big boy, and you can tell.
Yeah. I would put down the controller. I would feel, sort of like a pre-boner happening. Pick it up and go back to it. I wonder if that would happen again if I played Wario Land 3.
I think
maybe
you almost
to
instantly
properly get
you would have a Pavlovian effect where instantly you would pop a stiffy.
Yeah, just bursting out of your jeans.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm surprised that mentioning Wario isn't just enough for you.
Just thinking about him is good.
Your twin starts whispering to you, oh, Wario, Wario.
Wario, Wario, Wario.
I think this is like a problem that I encounter now as well, where I'm like, I think I'm just shit at games now.
Yeah.
Like, I used to be so fucking good at games, playing like Halo on Legendary and Heroic just for fun.
Yeah.
Just for the hell of it, because like, oh, I need the challenge now. I need to do this. Mm. Now I'm like dropping down to like story mode on games because I'm like, I just want to keep going. I don't want to get stuck fighting this droid or whatever. I hate this shit. I want to kill
like
people.
Yeah. Because it's the kind of thing where you're like, I got like maybe 3-4 hours to play a game. Mm. If I'm doing the same level for those 4, that's not fun. That's not what I'm here to do.
I think my stubbornness, because I'm playing on normal, so there is a difficulty lower than I could be playing, but I'm worried.
You refuse?
Well, yeah, I refuse, but I also worry that this might be the hardest part in the game. Okay. So, because the thing is, it's just thrown, like, it's put me in a situation where there was a save point. So, like, I wasted my big fucking gun ammo prior to that, so I don't have any for this fight, which means that if I had one, like, just one bullet, maybe this would be really easy.
Yeah.
So I think I've painted myself into a corner.
Yeah.
And I'm scared to drop down the difficulty, because then if I finish the game on easy, I'll be like, maybe I could have done it.
As a guy with an unformed twin made of teeth and penises, I guess being normal is the best you can hope for.
Yeah,
in a video game.
It's what I dream of.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, how many thumbs for being impotent at Doom Eternal?
Look, I'm gonna probably give it 3 thumbs and a knock. It's a new experience. It's frustrating, so that's what it loses the thumb and a knock for. But yeah, it's made me realize, it's made me, like, walk a mile in someone else's shoes. And the
that's
shoes
good.
Of people who cannot come.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Very tight-fitting shoes.
And before we hear what Alexi and Jackson have been playing, here's a quick word from our sponsors, and boy are they lucky they're advertising on this episode.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Why did you refer to us in the third person?
What?
That was weird. Jackson and Alexi, we're here. You guys, you could have said. I felt rude. Talking about us like we're not in the room.
I'm so sorry. Hey, now that we're back from our ad break, I'm so sorry that I referred to you by name. I'll now refer to you as Cunt 1 and Cunt 2.
Whoa,
is that
what
better?
The hell? Yes, that's oh awesome. God. It feels cool.
Thank you.
That's fucking finally sick.
Yeah, it feels like the writers of Doom are writing this conversation. I love it now.
Joel Dusha and his cunts. All right, Jackson, what have you been playing?
So I think you've reviewed this, but I know you've reviewed this before, but
thank you for paying attention to my reviews.
You're welcome. Yeah. And I got Super Mario Maker 2, or hey, maybe it's just called Mario Maker 2.
It's
I
called
don't know.
Super Mario Maker 2.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I've not played Super Mario Maker 1. I didn't know if there was anything that I needed to play, if the story would make sense for Super Mario Maker 2.
So how did he get so good at making all these things? I don't know.
Yeah, when did he learn that I'm having the Joel Dusha Lord of the Rings experience? He's a plumber, not a maker. This happened.
Plumbers famously don't make things. They
would
fix
be
things,
amazing,
I guess.
If it was a plumber game for the first time. It's like, yeah, he's going to make all the pipes for your loo so you can do shits properly and stuff.
He's gonna make your house, you know, yeah, perfectly plumb. Oh, that's the making in the title. Oh.
Help Princess Peach shit.
Mario Career Edition.
Yeah. Flush those turds.
No, so I got, yeah, Super Mario Maker. I've yet to make in it. I've just been playing, which is the other half of the Super Mario Maker franchise.
Yep.
I've realized that when I'm like, because, you know, I'll play the story mode for a little bit and then I'm like, oh, maybe I'll give making a go. And then I'm like, well, I'm not creative. Like, I can't think of a fun Mario level. My first thought was like, what if I made a pit, right? And I made the inside of the pit really spiky. And then I put like a mushroom or some shit down the bottom. And then I gave Mario that shoe that he can hop in.
Yeah.
And then he could get down there and get the thing. And then I was like, none of this was a challenge.
No.
Like, I've just set up a problem and solved it. And so I stopped making at that point. I'm bad at it. I don't know how to do it.
I like your, like,
the story.
This is innovation. Yeah. Putting a pit in a Mario game. Something rarely seen in the franchise. A pit. Yeah, a hole. A hole
just, like,
in Mario
spent, like,
Brothers.
Five to 10 minutes doing it, and then looked at him and was like, what am I doing? Like, this is just not... And then I tried two things. A pit, and then I was like, what if I made, like, hard jumps? But my hard jumps were just single blocks that Mario had to jump between. And then I was like, I'm so bad at this. So I fucked that off, yep. And I just played the story mode. So I finished the story mode. It's great. I love playing through all the old fucking kinds of Mario. So I've never played Mario 2, or I played the one where you pull out radishes and finished that, but not the one where Mario, you know, the other Mario 2?
You're talking about Super Mario Lost Levels.
Yes, Lost Levels, that one. No. That's great. That's for some reason my favorite.
Got any other questions about Mario? I'm happy to answer them.
That's so good to hear, man. When did he become a maker?
That would be with the release of the original Super Mario Maker for the Wii U.
That makes a lot of sense.
Believe
to
it
me.
Probably came out around 2013. Next.
Okay,
next question.
What was Hotel Mario about?
Mario opened a hotel.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Who are Mario and Luigi's parents?
Great question. I'll get back to you on that one. Sorry, Alexi. Actually, you're breaking up. I'm losing you.
Yeah, so I then, after, like, finishing the main game, which is, like, fun, and I kept expecting, like a proper plot to happen, and it's funny that it never does. It's just like, a dog blows up Peach's castle and you've got to rebuild it.
Yep.
And I kept being like, at a certain point, because, you know, every level you do completes like a certain percentage of the castle or whatever. And I'm like, surely at a certain point, something comes and threatens this, like Bowser or something. But no, he just never turns up and then you do it and it's over.
Well,
that was
they
good.
Do, there's little bits that happen. Like,
yeah, they're like, oh no, a toad got lost.
Yeah.
And you're going to go find a toad.
Because like all the toads are builders. They're specific builders. Some of them build bridges. Some of them build bits of the castle.
I am a fan that this is, what if Mario had to deal with like a gig economy, but he has to do Mario level. Like, they're like, we got a job for you, Mario. That's just what he's doing. It's such a weird setup. But yeah, that was fun. I realized that I love like the platforming levels, but I hate the levels that are like, here's a check, collect 100 coins, or don't jump, or only jump, or whatever.
Yeah.
Those levels aren't that fun. So, and then I moved on to the...
So, Jackson, you like platforming in Mario. Have you tried playing Super Mario Brothers for the NES?
I have. I think I finished that.
Oh,
it's great.
Yeah,
I know. Then I moved on to like the player-made levels, which are... what kind of a menu is the menu for Super Mario Maker 2? What orangutan menu is this? Like, I have no idea what I'm searching ever.
Some of the
there's
menus...
popular courses. There's popular courses and hot courses.
Mm.
What does that mean?
Well, one, they're sexy courses, and then just, like, good courses.
One are full of raunch, horny Mario. That's good.
Someone made Goombas lay out in the shape of a tit.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So you can I found after much searching, you can like search in terms of difficulty of level.
Mm.
I can finish expert levels within like 20 minutes.
Mm.
I cannot finish super expert or whatever the one above is. Don't know what I'm doing most of the time.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you know, like you start, I don't know, because you've played it, Dushu. You start at like a Mario Maker level made by somebody and there's like one complicated jump at the beginning.
Yeah.
And you die for the first time and you're like, no. No, I'm leaving. Fuck this.
All right, I'm off. Anyway, see ya. Enjoy.
That sucks, and I hate you. Goodbye.
Enjoy your fucking game for babies, idiot. I'm off to fucking kiss my wife.
But the expert levels are fun. I like the ones that are like a speed run where it's just like timing your jumps. Those are satisfying.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. And I like the levels where it's just like somebody's made... I found a level that was called Music Through the Ages. That was somebody making out of like the note blocks various songs from various time periods, and all I had to do was move to the left. That was pretty
say, move to the left. Interesting. That's really subverting the expectation of the Mario level.
I think there was a Coldplay song included there.
Cool.
Made out of the Mario music.
Clocks? The Scientist?
I think it was Clocks.
Mm.
And it was just like, why?
That's
who's
a classic.
This for?
Well, yeah, it's Coldplay heads. You just said you liked the level. It's for you.
Oh, no.
And everybody likes Coldplay. It's just they have to admit it. It's tough to admit, but everyone likes them.
Everyone who plays that level of Super Mario Maker 2 gets a letter from Chris Martin that says, congratulations on admitting you love my band.
Damn. And you can't hide it because you're on a registry at that point.
Yeah, you have to frame it. You have to frame it and hang it above.
The government wants to look up who likes Coldplay. You're on the list. I don't know. It's pretty fun. It's good to just like you get like a level that's a bit difficult. You play it for a bit, die like a dickhead, get frustrated. Mm. Not horny frustrated. That's yet to happen.
Yeah,
put it down. Pick it up again like an hour later and you know, complete it or whatever. That's pretty satisfying.
But if his little cousin pops in, maybe maybe different
little cheeky
story.
Mario. Oh, look out.
If Mario got fatter and dumber, you'd be in all sorts of trouble.
And moved like a barge. That's what I want.
Is Wario fat or really muscly?
I think he's muscle. I think he's like He's got a lot of that muscle fat going on.
Yeah.
I'll look up a picture of him, you know?
Yeah, Wario might actually be like...
arms.
Yeah, he might be like Ben Affleck, the widest man in the world. Ben Affleck, so wide. Ben Affleck almost has to walk through doors sideways.
Yeah.
That's how wide that man is.
He's got to get a tattoo underneath that phoenix that just says wide load.
Yes!
There's that picture of shirtless Wario from Wario and Sonic at the... Tokyo Olympics.
Wario and Sonic at the Tokyo Olympics.
I would love it if it was them.
Sorry.
If Wario somehow took over for that one title, that's their weirdly most prestige one they've ever made.
Sonic and Wario at the starting line of a 100-meter sprint, and Sonic's head just turning to look at him. Where's Mario? And then Wario runs before the gun is fired because he cheats at everything. Sonic got ripped off, absolutely.
Wario, if you're playing as Wario, you can bribe the official so that he shoots the gun at Sonic.
It's the only Mario game with a freaking doping scandal in it.
Wario's on roids, it's true. He's roided up. I've had a lot of fun with it. I've enjoyed it. Probably a 5-thumb game, I think.
Yep.
It's pretty polished. I hate, and it's reminding me of Super Mario 3D World, where for some reason they made Mario a cat. I don't know why that game exists, and it's always bad to be reminded of it. So that maybe 4.5, 4 thumbs and a knuck, be honest.
You hate when Mario's a cat, but thoughts on when Peach is a cat? Is that good?
Good. It's as good as failing at Wario a bunch.
Yeah.
If it was
sensation.
As raunchy as Cat Peach, then that would be good.
And can you also, what about Peach in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, where she's wearing like a racer suit? Thoughts?
I'll tell you now, Joel Dusha, there's no situation where I don't want to fuck Princess Peach.
Thank you.
Okay? You can run the numbers, the schematics 100 times. You're not going to find a scenario.
That's the only
pixelated
reason
original for the NES. I'm there. That's Super Mario Brothers Super Show for TV.
Oh, that's the perfect one.
When she becomes, when she's a rabid, the rabid game, I'm there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. That's what I want.
Yeah.
White, formless. Good.
That's why you finished the first Super Mario Brothers game.
Yeah.
It's because
I
every
had
time
to
you
get
to a
Peach.
Castle, it was like, thank you, Mario, but Peach is in a different castle. You're like, fuck! I gotta find her!
Keep going! Where is this woman? Yeah. So yeah, 4 thumbs and a knock.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's pretty good. Anyway, Alexi, what have you been playing?
I've been in that. I really mainly just play story-driven games. I'm like, that's all I really want. So I've been like dipping in and out of like some classics. I went to GTA 5 and played through that completely in like 3 days or less.
Jeez.
I beat the whole game. Like maybe not 3 days, but it was...
Might have been 3.5.
Maybe 4 days maximum is what it took me to beat this time.
Fucking hell.
And then I was like, I'm going to keep going with this shit. I bought Vice City again. Let me report back. It is unplayable. Absolutely unplayable. The PS4 version is just the PS2 version ripped. And I was going back to that time period in my life where I'm just like getting frustrated by the way this game works now.
Yeah.
I couldn't lock on with a certain gun. Like you could only go first person. And I was like, this sucks. I hate this.
That's bad.
Gave up on it. Played Bully again. Really enjoying Bully.
Yep.
But what I'm into right now, I bought like 3 days ago and this is like one of my new favorite games. I am playing Yakuza 0.
Oof. Oh, yeah.
And I had never played any of the Yakuza games before, but a friend of mine had been telling me, like, oh, you should get into it. It's a great game. It's a great story. Just start with 0. That way you can progress through it. He was comparing it to The Godfather. Whenever anyone compares something to The Godfather, I'm like, okay, yes, I'm listening. Yeah. I shall play this. I will play it.
Was this friend also on the Sans Pants Radio Network? Because
no, this is not a Sans Pantser. Who's the Sans Pantser that's in love with Yakuza?
It's a new Sans Pantser, which is why I thought you might have been talking about it. One of the co-hosts of Hey Fam, Angus Truscott, he loves him.
I don't even think I've told Angus I'm playing it yet.
Yeah. Hit him up.
We talk every day, so I might that might be like my next message to him is like just a screenshot of me playing Yakuza 0.
Yeah, because I'm pretty unless I'm confused, but I'm pretty sure he's played through like 4 of them, which is a crazy amount.
It would not surprise me. He is a completionist, and he adores consuming his time playing video games just like this.
Have you ever played a Yakuza game, Dusha?
No, but based on what I was just talking about, I've been very tempted to, because apparently they're kind of like, they borrow some parts of GTA, but they're also like way crazier. And
they're
a Japanese-made game.
Yeah, do you play them, Jackson?
Oh, I played one for like maybe, there's a period of time in my like young adulthood, where I would just go to a friend's house every day and play video games. We played a whole bunch of different ones, and one of them was Yakuza. I forget which Yakuza game it was. All I really remember is forcing him to go and do the hard parts to earn money so that I could go to the hostess clubs and try and seduce all the hostesses. And we would just spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars trying to... We would buy them the fancy chocolate fountains. We would take them on dates, but never sealed the deal. And then he would be like, I don't think we can do it. And I'd be like, get racing. We need
we
more
have
money.
To try. We
so
have
going
to
back
keep
to the club.
Trying.
Jackson, was one of the Yakuza games like... Because, like, when you're a teenager, especially an early teen, and this would have been, like, a PS2 game, right?
No. This was I would have been, like, 22. It was largely a joke. I wasn't intending to actually get off. It was largely a joke.
I still have all the same atoms that I did during that time. They have not changed. They've not swapped over. I'm the exact same person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I thought you were going to... I thought you might have been... Because you know how, like, there was a weird period towards the end of PS2 where they realized they could put nudity in video games?
Yeah, stuff got horny. Absolutely.
I thought what you might have been doing has been like, oh, we're going to see a boob.
No.
Honestly, the era of like GTA, Dead or Alive Volleyball, like that was
BM
like
XXX.
Oh my God. BMX XXX, one of the great like unrated games in Australia.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
What if you took
the Playboy Mansion simulator?
Yep.
My
that's good.
Yes.
Famously, no boobs in that. Just lots of bikinis.
Yeah, that's which true. At the time was enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Took care of absolutely. It. Absolutely.
Got the job
the
done.
The twin was happy that day. Let's just say that.
Your bag of penises and teeth swelled three sizes.
It swelled up. And it swelled
like,
up.
I was like, oh, buddy, all you time. Like this, eh? You like this.
Yes.
Duly noted. Wait until we go on the internet. When you hear those dial-up noises, oh boy.
I remember the game, I think it was on Xbox. Yeah, it wasn't on 360. It was on Xbox. It's called Fahrenheit here, but Indigo Prophecy in the US.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And there is like, it's like one of those like, what's his name? David...
Oh, yeah, I know. It was like the beginning of, and then he made Heavy Rain. And
yeah, the Heavy Rain guy. Yeah. And
there's
Detroit becomes
human. Scene in it, isn't it? Yeah.
There's a sex scene in it, and it's like slightly interactive where you just have to get the controller, like thrust the sticks forward. I was like, oh my God, I'm finally doing it. This is what it's like.
This is what it's going to feel like when it comes.
I've got to pay attention to these vibrations, these movements, and learn them off my heart.
You got to memorize them.
So good.
Memorize them. But yeah, Yakuza Zero is awesome.
great.
But I think that it's does have a lot of stuff like that. I think I'm really enjoying like the free roaming aspect because it's the opposite of real life at the moment. It does this thing that I think GTA kind of gently does, but this does it more, which is like that tonal dissonance where there is like this really serious storyline going on. That's like this gangster Yakuza storyline that's very deep, and there's lots of different characters involved and lots of different power struggles and statuses involved. But then the game is like all humor otherwise. Like when you're not in the story, every submission and sub story is insane. I just did one where I'm trying to break down like a used panty selling ring
of
high schoolers. And there's like this great one that I just did that was so fun where it's like this, this kind of like rockabilly Japanese punk band, and all the guys in the band are actually just like real sweet losers, the nerds, and you have to teach them how to be a tough guy.
Oh, so
there's all
awesome.
This like weirdness and like really like overt, like goofy, crazy humor that's like throughout the entire game. And all the little side missions are so weird and so not violent. But then the actual like gameplay is you're walking around and then it's just fight scenes. Like you're having these incredible, like, really weird and like kind of complex fighting styles. You have to keep changing to fight different things, but it's like really like elevated in that kind of Japanese anime style where you have like, oh, now I'm getting a superpower and I'm getting like steam coming off me and I've got like a power of a phoenix within me and stuff.
I think it was Yakuza 5 I played in fight scenes, you could like pick up motorbikes and throw them at people. You could like snap telephone poles in half and just wail on them.
It's all so that, like, stuff. And I think it's, like, because it's all totally abstract and strange, Bay finds, like, this harmony in it all, which I'm finding so impressive and delightful in it.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
I'm going to leave these sounds in, because the way that I've got this recording set up is I'm literally sitting a meter away from my TV, and your review was so good, Alexi, that I was like, I'm pretty sure that Yakuza 0 is on Game Pass on Xbox. It is, so I'm currently downloading it while we're recording this episode.
Hell yes, dude. Yeah, I think that you'll enjoy it. I think it's, like, it's pretty cool. My one, like, kind of criticism of it at the moment is that it is, like, a thing that's very, like, I guess, a trademark of, you know, the big Japanese video game titles that slowly have made their way to the Western world that we call home. Is, like, how cutscene heavy they are. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that. As many people know, I absolutely simply adore watching movies. And this is, like, a movie where every now and then I get to be part of it. But I think, you know, sometimes you just want to pick up a game and, like, fuck shit up and play around.
The fact that the cutscenes would kill me. I don't think I could play a Yakuza game simply, like, from start to end, simply for that reason. I can't stand cutscenes. Yeah. I'm not
like, there'll be times where it's like, I'm a half an hour, I'm not doing anything. I'm just watching.
Jeez.
But it's also kind of the weird thing that I'm vibing on about this game as well is, like, there's this stylistic thing in the cutscenes where there'll be some cutscenes that are, like, full motion, cinematic cutscenes, amazing performances, amazing voice acting. This game has incredible writing throughout the whole thing. Really, really funny writing and really, really interesting, like, dramatic cinematic writing as well. So there'll be cutscenes that, like, feel pure cinematic style.
Yeah.
But then there'll be some where there's conversations where it's, like, an interactive novel almost, where it's just, like, people's faces and then, like, you know, it's gone black and white or something.
Yeah.
And then it's just the text coming up. You're not seeing their mouths move, but it's text and you're hearing it. And it's like, it almost feels like they're communicating telepathically at points, like a twin style.
Yes.
It is really, it's a really weird decision when those things happen. And then there'll be another style of cutscene where it's just dialogue between characters. It's like the in-game graphics. And then they'll be talking, their mouths are moving and stuff. It's just normal. And you're skipping through the dialogue. And then for the sub-stories, no words spoken, just on-screen dialogue and people making like, hey, yes, noises like that. And it's so weird that there's four different tiers of what the, like, cinematics are in the game. Yeah.
That rules. That's made me even more excited about this install that I've currently got going on.
It's like the first thing that happens is, like, you see that devolution of cinematics. You see, like, a gorgeous cutscene, then, like, the weird, like, interactive novel or, like, visual novel thing, then just normal, then back up, and then an hour you start playing.
Hell yeah.
So, that sounds amazing.
One final question, Alexi, just while I'm looking at the Yakuza 0 description. It says, the glitz, glamour, unbridled decadence of the 80s are back. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Yes.
I would agree.
It's great.
Especially
news.
Because I was trying to play Vice City and wanted that, like, that feeling. And because the game stinks dick right now, you can't play it.
It's just huff and dong.
It's a huffed up dong. It's unplayable.
Yeah.
This is, like, satisfying just enough that itch. Like, it's not as overt and as I guess how we would perceive the 80s in that Western style of, like, awesome blondie music and stuff like that and new wave. It's not exactly that, but, like, it's enough to just kind of satisfy that itch that I needed to be scratched on my unformed twin.
Yes. And Alexi, how many thumbs for Yakuza 0?
I'm still pretty fresh in, but I'm gonna go up to 4 thumbs. Knocking it, I'm going up to 4 thumbs.
4 full thumbs.
And I think that as it goes further on, as I get more invested in it, it could go up a knock or two.
That's good. I'm really excited to play it.
Yeah.
And there's many. We've got 15 years worth of these games now. Become introduced to
them.
You're
so lucky.
Because I recently just got an Xbox. Thank you to our listeners that donated to our Twitch streams, which has then made that possible.
Absolutely. Twitch.tv/SansPantsRadio. Give it a watch.
We're streaming all the time. But I just got an Xbox One with Game Pass. And Jesus Christ, there is a lot of games. So for the next, like, 3 years, I'm just going to be like, I found this game on Game Pass. And Yeah,
it's called Halo it's 5. It's awesome.
I don't get it, though, because I've never seen the other Halos. Who is this guy?
You heard
What's
of this
a
fucking...
Covenant?
you fucking heard of this Master Chief fella? He's pretty fucking cool.
He's extremely tall and powerfully strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has this blue chick with him, though, and I just don't get her. I think she's dying? Hard to say.
Is that his girlfriend or some shit, or his wife?
Has he got his wife on his wrist or whatever? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, man, that's my style.
I like wife to leave my wrist. Wife at home when I go on adventures.
Master Chief brings her inside his clothes. That's great.
Yeah, that's nice. That's
awesome. That's true love.
Yeah,
that's nice.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've been Alexi Toliopoulos. Please listen to my podcast, Total Reboot, also on the Sans Pants Network.
Yes, it's very good. We've been, mm-hmm. me and Jackson have both been on it.
Yeah.
It was great. We talked about Dr. Dolittle. Listen to it. It's great.
Oh, man. Those are two of my favorites. We did a mini series together, and it was like so fun. The Dr. Dolittle movie sucks, but it was so fun to talk about.
Absolutely. Check it out.
Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sans Pants Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.